From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
I'm going to choose not to do that, although I think I could. Maybe I'll try. And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. I said Pac-12, but whatever. It's been a couple of years since that happened.
Sorry, Griffin. It's past his bedtime anyway, right?
RIP, yes. We are in commute zone. David tweeted that none of our listeners have jobs, so that's why we can broadcast at 4:45 on a Wednesday. Why is this time? I don't know. Ask David, because I'm not sure. But we're doing it live. We appreciate you coming in and joining us.
Because my primary job is not vacationing, Ryan. I'm out there. I'm out there talking to Deshaun Foster. All right.
Oh wow, that's a job. That's a job in itself.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I've been here like pretty much all day recording stuff, but I'm back here again, and I'm here with you. I'm very happy to be here. I know we got people live on the YouTubes, which is awesome, and it's awesome to hear from you. Maybe I'm not going to encourage it that much because I think we have like 15 emails today, but Big Ten Cast, spell it all out, at gmail.com if you want to email us. We also got a few voicemails and text messages. 424-532-0678 is the number. I think we got Perk, and we got Eddie from Orange. You can tweet us at B1G Podcast. And then on Apple or Spotify, David doesn't like Spotify, but whatever. Either one, you can leave us a 5-star rating. Apple, you can leave a review. Spotify, you can leave comments about specific episodes. We'd love to hear from you. However, I don't know if we have any new reviews, David, on the Apples.
We do have one. Okay. This is from 7775426. Love the show. David Woods pulling out the Portnoy's complaint cut was not on my bingo card. Yeah, that was a little Philip Roth reference for the real Roth heads out there on last week's show.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all. Portnoy's complaint is a book.
Oh, okay.
And we were talking about Dave Portnoy.
Right.
So
I think it's Portnoy, but yes.
I was trying to say Portnoy and it wasn't coming out, and I don't know why. You ever just like evaluate your tongue and are like, what the fuck's going on there? Sorry, Griffin.
That ain't happened. Yeah. Yeah. We got two sorry Griffins already. We haven't even got to our read.
And hard Fs, right? Like, we're not even saying, yeah, that's not good to start out the show.
You didn't give poop
I'm cleaning it up.
Stuff.
I'm cleaning it up.
Yes. I want to talk about my bookie a little bit. You know, it's so exciting. We got week zero, week one, college football in the books, and NFL week one starts this weekend. I got a fantasy draft later on tonight, and then we get right into the season tomorrow. So you've done your research. You got your gut picks. It's time to cash in on all of that. Saturday, you got the college chaos. Sunday, of course, NFL insanity. With my bookie, you've got every angle covered: spreads, player props, live bets, and the ones you only whisper about until they hit. You just keep it quiet. Boom. And then they hit. Set up seamless. One account, one wallet. Bet your game. Maybe you can play some blackjack. Reload without ever leaving the app. And if you're new to my bookie, you can use our promo code POC and any bet you make, choose up to $500. It will be fully covered by my bookie, so you can make your play. And if it doesn't hit, you get right back in there using that same money you bet with the first time with. You can opt into that using your bet back bonus token. This isn't fantasy. This is the real season. Let's cash with my bookie.
That was a beautiful read. It was borderline musical at different points.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. You had some sonorous vocalizations in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying it for sonorous.
That was gorgeous.
Well, thanks.
I'm turned on. Anyone else?
You are always turned on.
Yeah, that's so true.
We also have to get to, so that week one survivor pool is in the books. Thanks again to Matthew for compiling it all. We had 252 entries. Whew. Guess how many won? Do you know how many won?
How many?
497. So we had a lot of people. The biggest winner was Purdue. Most people picked Purdue. One person picked Penn State, one Ohio State, one Michigan. Those were the fewest. Someone picked everybody. Every team was picked. So that means there's going to be some losers because not everybody won.
Who did we pick again?
I'm sorry, not 497. It was week one winners. He put 497. I think it's It's something less than that, but it was 252. It's like 245 or something like that.
Who did we pick again?
We picked, I believe, Purdue and Maryland.
Aha.
Yeah.
All right. So this week it's definitely Northwestern. And
so, yeah, Northwesterns are probably.
I'm just doing my picks real time right now.
Yeah, what you're doing.
Yeah.
So the losers, there were seven people that lost. So it's 245 survivors, not 497. I don't know why you wrote that, but we're going to fire him and, or dock his pay for writing the wrong number down for me to read.
I'm going but bold.
Six people picked Northwestern. Guess what, David?
What?
One person picked UCLA.
Ooh.
That seems like a weird one, but I guess everybody was picked. So there were some weird ones out there. You're going bold. I think I did Northwestern and was it Rutgers or no, Wisconsin. I think I did Wisconsin.
I did Northwestern Rutgers.
Okay.
I could lose this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Miami of Ohio could do it.
I picked Wisconsin. They're a pretty big favorite.
Yeah.
But thank you for Matthew for doing that. We should have it all in the show notes and everything as far as the doc to make your picks. We tweeted out, so go check our Twitter or whatever. And any whatever 24/7 site you follow, if our podcast is up there or just look at our links, it'll be in there. So if you entered week one and you're one of the 245 people that survived, make sure you enter week two. And please, if you didn't win week one or didn't submit a pick week one, Matthew is begging you not to enter something because you're not eligible now. So it's only if you've entered week one because you have to survive. So don't try to jump in because it's just more headache for Matthew to deal with. Not that we care because we've docked his pay for having a mistake, but whatever, that's fine.
That's true. He owes us now several buffets.
Yeah.
Sadly.
And for Matthew. I'm going to read this one. That's okay. We can just to let people know, John Abrea came through.
Well, what a big dog.
With the gift
what
cards. It could have been better than what it was, but he decided we're going to get gift cards with value however many points Michigan scored. And if you remember, I picked New Mexico to cover because of the social media game, which was completely right. And David was way wrong. So if David was right, though, we would have got more money on the gift cards. But they're on their way. And so the best reviews, we'll send you gift cards.
Woohoo! Thank you, John.
Nice. So we got a recap. Do I have a big time recap button? I don't even remember. I don't think so. Okay. All right. We're going to go through our power rankings. And we're going to try to do this fast. Number eight. There's 18 teams in this league.
That's so true.
I just found that out. I didn't even know. Now there is. Number 18.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow. This is obviously a debate. We both picked Utah here to cover 5.5, so we were both correct. By almost four touchdowns, we were both correct. Utah blew out UCLA, and the final score is deceptive, 43-10. It should have been a lot more. UCLA indicated its intention to surrender. I would say you could debate it in the third quarter. Definitely the opening play of the fourth quarter when they punted on 4th and 12, down by 20.
You love that.
Loved it. Really makes everyone
want to. It
really makes everyone want to stay and watch more UCLA football. Utah did everything they needed to do. This is one of the few P4 games, so we'll spend a little extra time on it. Devin Dampier looked really good. I don't know how much of that is Devin Dampier being really good. I think he's pretty good. Or UCLA's edge rushers not being quite this level. But in any event, really, really disappointing start for UCLA. Nico Iamaliava, he was the offense was the better part of this for UCLA, and they scored 10 points. Iamaliava was inaccurate downfield, but he's a tough customer.
He was tough.
And he ran the ball. He was probably one of the few bright lights for UCLA, but not enough. And I think the reality for UCLA going forward, and this is all I'll say at this point, because we'll be talking a lot of UCLA, I think, over the course of this year, because what team do
I think
cover?
Today we got a lot of questions. Too,
we do have a lot. But I'll say this. If UCLA is going to do anything this year, it's going to require Nico becoming elite very quickly, because they're going to need to. Yeah, he's going to need to be Superman, because they're going to need to score 30-plus points a game every single game if they're going to win games.
Gotcha. Yeah. So not a good showing by the Bruins, the former Pac-12. So we had, they took a beating by
Utah Utes.
Right, baby.
Nice. Okay. Number 17.
Northwestern Wildcats.
Yeah, the lesson here, Ryan, is let the home team, if they're 20 years celebrating a disaster, just let them wear whatever uniform they want.
Yeah.
Good rule of thumb.
They said no.
Yeah, Northwestern went to Tulane. They lost by 23-3. Tulane was favored by 6.5. Both Ryan and I picked Tulane here. Yeah, Northwestern's really bad, and that's not good. Tulane's probably pretty good, but you shouldn't be going into Tulane and getting smoked like that if you're a P4.
No. We did better on our – so overall our picks were 7-8. We tied. We had four different games, but we split. So 7-8 total. But the bottom we did pretty well on. Like, we got the bottom pretty good. Because I think we got this one too, and you have to thank me because I think I'm the one that told you to change it.
Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, it is Purdue ascendancy season. The Boilermakers blew out Ball State. We both got this one right. I don't remember any revisionist history whatsoever.
Because I gave you some Ball State stats, and you're like, I'm switching.
Yeah, no, 100%. look, I don't know. It could be a false positive. Could be a lot of things. But they won 31-0. That's great. Great. Yeah,
Barry Odom turns teams around fast. This would have happened last year. I don't know how good they're going to be, but that's positive for Purdue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 15.
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
All right. With Michigan State, we both, I believe, took Western Michigan. So we both nailed this one. Michigan State won 23-6. This was 21-0 at halftime. Michigan State scored a grand total of 2 points in the second half. Aiden Childs had a fumble, but he recovered it, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think he had a real turn.
He didn't actually turn the ball over, so that was an upset.
Although his backup, whatever, came in and threw a pick, and I'm like, maybe it's just something in the water there.
Yeah, it could be. But anyway, they didn't cover, but they looked fine.
So we had this one right, too.
Yes.
So with we got four in a row. Now, we only got seven total, so we've got the first four. So there's a lot of not gettings going forward. But the bottom, we understand. So
we come from the gutter. We know the bottom.
this one, I think I got by my chinny chin chin. We have number 14.
Wisconsin Badgers.
And they were taking on Miami of Ohio. They were favored by 17.5 points, Ryan.
Yes.
I took Wisconsin, you took Miami of Ohio, and Wisconsin went out and won by 17 points.
Yes.
They won 17-0. I feel like if you shut a team out, that should be like an auto cover, right? Like,
right.
They didn't score. You just sat on them. Alas, I lose that one. You win it. But Wisconsin, all winners because Wisconsin won.
Yeah, they won. Did not look great, but they won.
Yeah.
Okay, number 13, we got
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap, 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 snap. You know who kind of did look good?
Not bad, huh?
Yeah. I mean, their freshman quarterback actually looked pretty decent.
Because you knew it was like a make it or break it year, so going with a freshman quarterback, you're like, it's a little questionable.
Yeah, we both took Florida Atlantic here, but Maryland blew them out.
Yeah.
It was a 14.5 point spread. They won by 32, and Malik Washington looked kind of studly. My impression of Maryland definitely, I mean, I don't know how good FAU is. They might be really bad, but my impression of Maryland from this one was okay. But Maryland often does this. September looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And then tanking begins. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
And then they only look good against certain teams that travel there.
Yeah. It's hard to.
Which team traveled there last year?
Oh, USC did.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Did Maryland win that game?
Maryland won, yeah.
Huh.
They were down 13 late in the fourth quarter and came back and won.
Wow. Okay.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of these teams you're playing, like, oh, was Florida Atlantic good last year? Or did they lose everybody in the portal? Did they, it's like, how the heck can you tell some of these early ones? But by our record, you could tell it's not easy to do. Okay. Next up, we got number 12.
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
Rutgers, this was a Thursday night game. I actually watched a fair bit of this one. They were put to the test by Ohio. They easily could have lost this game. Rutgers ended up winning 34-31. We were divided on this one. I took Ohio.
Yes.
Plus 15.5. Ryan took Rutgers to cover the 15.5, obviously, with the 3 points victory for Rutgers. I won.
Not even close.
But yeah, Rutgers was up at one point, and then things went to hell. I don't know. I don't know what to make of Rutgers. I know Ohio can be good from time to time, so I would, you know, take some solace in that. But this one easily could have been a devastating home loss for the Rutgers.
It was Rutgers' defense was terrible because I watched this because I was like, okay, they were up 17. You know, I'm like, okay, they're on their way to covering the spread, and then it was tied at 30. Like they couldn't stop. They gave up like a touchdown drive at the end of the first half. They would just, whenever they got needed a stop, they just gave up some crazy drive, and it was the Rutgers defense not impressed with. So Shiano's probably not happy about that.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched way too much of that, but it was a Thursday game, so it was easy. This one, there were pianos falling, which we didn't think there would be, but there were 11.
Washington Huskies.
All right. This one took place concurrent with the UCLA game, so I'm not even going to pretend to know what happened. Washington was favored by 21.5. We both took Washington, and they did not cover. They beat Colorado State 38-21. What were the pianos, Ryan?
No, just they looked like they should have been in control of this game, and they just weren't. You know, I was going, trying to watch both, and this was a team they should have put away, and they just kept making little mistakes and stuff. So I don't recall. I mean, maybe in the chat if they have a specific one that was like really big or something. But yeah, it just
looks like Jonah Coleman continues to be
A stud,
freaking awesome.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I haven't even been looking at the chat. There's so much stuff going on. So I'm sorry you guys are chatting. I haven't put it, man, the chat's super active. Crap. I'll try to watch that too and put it up on the screen, but there's like a lot going on right now. Okay. Number 10, we've got
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
This is another of what I'll call, and I would group kind of Washington in there, maybe Wisconsin, of the sludgy games. Buffalo at Minnesota. Minnesota was favored by 17.5. We both took Minnesota. They only won by 13, 23-10. And that was 10 fourth quarter points. This was a game heading into the fourth quarter. You know, things like that happen. There were just a lot of these games in week one for a lot of teams just kind of playing maybe down to their opponent.
Playing with their food, yeah. Like not like figuring things out. Like,
yeah. But anyway, they didn't cover. Buffalo won. I wouldn't, you know, not an alarming thing yet for Minnesota.
You would have liked to see them cover, but yeah. You know, we saw a lot of this early on. That we had some faith in some Big Ten teams that we shouldn't have had faith in, apparently. Okay. Number 9.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
Yeah, this is another one that was kind of interesting. Nebraska won 20-17. It wasn't at Cincinnati. It was at Arrowhead. It was originally supposed to be as they mentioned several times on the broadcast, it was originally supposed to be at Cincinnati, and then it got flipped to Arrowhead. I never got clarity from the broadcasters because I tuned out at that point on why that happened, because it was supposed to be a road game. Anyway, Nebraska did not cover. They won by 3. They were favored by 6.5. My big takeaway watching this one extensively is I was expecting Dylan Raiola to take a sophomore year leap. And I would say I am now in this is a little alarming category. Because he didn't look very good to me. And he kind of throws it funny. Like, I just don't. And I know people are making fun of him for all the Patrick Mahomes cosplay, but it is kind of weird.
It was weird that it was an Arrowhead.
You know? Well, and it's all like everything he does is kind of weird. And it just, I'm not super sold on him. And I know it's first game of a sophomore year. And so maybe there's a lot of room here, but it's just, and my quarterback evaluations are always pretty good. As people remember of Jaden Daniels.
You really called Jaden Daniels not even being named the starter the year he won the Heisman.
Correct. So anyway, take it with a grain of salt, but I was not super impressed with Raiola in this game.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Well, I was one of the people high on kind of Nebraska that they could make a run. And after watching the game, I am not, because usually Nebraska looks good early and then didn't look great here, but you know, game one, you don't want to like overreact to anything, but, and you know, I would say trending a little more down than I thought going into this one. Number 8.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
That's right, baby. Another year of Iowa football has begun. They played Albany. Who cares? I don't.
Yeah.
They won 34-7. There was no line.
It wasn't pretty early either. Like,
who cares?
This was not.
I don't care.
It should have been worse.
Stop talking about it.
They have that JC transfer?
I don't care.
Quarterback?
Don't care.
Didn't look good to start.
That's fine.
Number seven, we got
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
You know what Illinois went out and did?
They
went out and beat that ass.
They're like Indiana people.
Yeah, they did everything they needed to do. You took Western Illinois foolishly. Illinois Very was favored foolish. By 45.5, and they won by 49. I took Illinois. Yeah, they beat the hell out of them. Luckily, they were still in score mode at the end of this game. Otherwise, it could have been dicey for me, but they scored two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Loved every minute of it. Let's go, Illini.
Yeah, that was annoying. Like when you know, to cover big spreads, like you don't need the favorite team to score 14 points in the fourth quarter.
That's right, baby.
But that's what they would. They had a Western had a touchdown. I saw the replay. It looked like a guy cut a touchdown, and they said he was down at the one, and they didn't even score it. They got a field goal out of it. So like that's.
Don't you love when you're sitting there rooting for some game you couldn't give shit like because less of a covering, shit about because yeah. of our stupid competition?
Illinois should not have covered that, but they did, and that's just the way it rolls. So
it's lovely.
I had the Wisconsin by one half. You had this crazy one. I still watch the replay. I'm like, that's a touchdown, and I just somehow they ruled them down at the one, and somehow they couldn't get it in. So whatever, but. Impressive looking by the Illini. Number six.
USC Trojans.
I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
USC won by 60. They were favored by 35.5. We both took Missouri State. That was stupid. They crushed this team. Missouri State still kind of looks like an FCS school. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, but you throw up 78-3 on anybody, Your offense is probably pretty good.
Yeah, that was wasn't expecting that, obviously, because I thought like 45-10 would be fine.
Jaden Maiava starting on my college fantasy team, and I was really upset that they pulled him at halftime.
Yeah, they pulled him up. They played like everybody. They had a walk-on score a touchdown for the first time since 1994. A second walk-on defensive player should have had a pick six. He ran the wrong way and got tackled by the quarterback. He just needed to run to the left, and he ran to the right. Like they could have two walk-on score in this game. So that was a weird one. But yeah, they look pretty good. I didn't do these rankings, by the way. These are David. So I thought we shouldn't even do rankings the first couple of weeks, but it's more fun to do them, but it's really hard to figure out.
It provides an organizing principle for doing the recaps. It does, is the main reason I wanted to do it.
That makes sense. All right, number five.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey folks. I'm from Indiana.
Speaking of playing with their food, Indiana, number 20, they were playing Old Dominion, and this was 17-7 at halftime. Did Old Dominion score first in this game? I want to say they did.
I think it was 7-0 or something.
Yeah. We both took Indiana here. We were incorrect. They were favored by 23.5. Yeah. I do know.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
Well, not anymore. You disappoint me.
They had a lot of trips to the red zone. And they had not a lot of points to show for it. Fernando Mendoza was no Curtis Rourke in his first game. But they won 27-14. You'll take your lumps, I guess, a little bit. But they'll need to play a lot better. I think Old Dominion might be okay. Maybe. They looked okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, obviously they'll need to play a lot better if they're going to do anything similar to what they did last year.
Kind of surprised you got them this high. But this was my favorite cover of the week. You got number four.
Michigan. Wolverines.
Wow. Scratch, 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 scratch.
That was your favorite cover of the week?
Because when we previewed the game, you said, oh, no way, Michigan. And I was like, dude, have you seen New Mexico's social media game? It's on, like, they did an Office parody.
Yeah.
They were so good. Like, how could you not pick them?
Anywho, Michigan beat New Mexico 34-17. They were favored by 34.5 points. So I took New Mexico. Ryan took Michigan. That was why he is crowing. Or no, vice versa.
Yes, vice versa.
Ryan took New Mexico. I took Michigan. That's why he is crowing. I find it unseemly that he does these sorts of things. I never gloat. I simply quietly accept my victories, the many of them that arrive. Yeah, I mean, this was actually a very close game for a long, long time.
It was way too close.
Yeah.
It's very concerning.
Very concerning.
you put up number four.
Yeah. They did eventually walk away with a double-digit win, so there's that. I do, like, again, from a selfish UCLA covering perspective, it does make UCLA's Friday night hosting of New Mexico, when there will be a screaming 8,000 in the stands, slightly more interesting. Did you see Ben Bolch's story in the LA Times about UCLA's attendance figures?
I did not, no. What did he write?
So he got the actual scan counts. If you haven't looked at the LA Times, go look at it, because it's actually a really interesting story. The actual scan counts of UCLA's home attendance.
Uh-huh.
They had a game against Bowling Green a few years ago at home. They had a scanned attendance, like people who actually got scanned into the game, and that includes media, workers, it includes everybody in the stadium, of just over 12,000 people.
No way.
Just over 12,000. They reported like 27,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's no bueno.
Yeah. There have been multiples of those. And my point in bringing that up is I think New Mexico at UCLA next Friday night is going to be the lowest attended game in UCLA football history.
Damn. Matthew in the chat said Bryce Underwood looked good. He did look good. Michigan didn't look great. Watching UCLA and, you know, the fact that Dampier and the offensive coordinator came over, I watched the USC game. They got, you know, New Mexico's best running back, the super speedy kid, Eli Sanders. Like, he looked good. He scored a long touchdown. Just seeing what New Mexico lost and they still were able to, like, hang with Michigan for a while, that was concerning to me, because I know they lost a bunch in the portal. I saw it. I mean, I watched them, like, high performers from New Mexico, and that's concerning.
Yep.
All right. Number three, we've got
Oregon Ducks.
Oregon. The Oregon football program, Ryan. They beat the hell out of Montana State. Who cares? 59-13. Yeah, Dante Moore. He went Dante Moore and all over them.
He did Dante Moore the hell out of it. Yeah, didn't get to watch much of this, but
who cares?
We could probably skip this one too. Number two.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Boy, was this a hideous football game. I mean, I think people talk themselves into it as like, oh, God, what a ground and pound. This is awesome. No, this just sucked. And both quarterbacks were really underwhelming.
This is the highest rated game. I think it was over 16 million as it came out this morning of opening weekend ever.
Ohio State was favored by 1.5. We both took Ohio State because obviously, you know, Sark was the other guy. Arch for Texas, I thought, looked like a journeyman quarterback who should not sniff the NFL. I mean, I think if you took away his last name, that's what he looks like. Julian Sain looked like a journeyman quarterback who shouldn't sniff the NFL, right? Did either of those guys make a single wow play where you're like, oh, damn, what a talent?
I mean, Sain had like the one throw, but I think Ohio State figured out they're not going to be able to do anything to us.
Yeah, let's just play defense.
They just sit on them. Like, yeah. I think it was sit on your little brother.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Like, Ohio State, I mean, Texas had better offensive numbers, but I think Ohio State knew they didn't need to do much.
Ohio State just stopped doing stuff after a while, which made for a really awesome viewing experience. I loved every second of this football game. Yeah.
I kind of like the Corso stuff. Like, if I don't know if you don't probably watch game day or whatever, but it was cool. I mean, I get it. Like, he's old as hell and everything, but I think he's done a lot for the sport. So I thought it was a nice little send off they gave him.
Totally. Yeah. I don't know how much more there is to say about this one. I thought Jeremiah Smith was, you know, pretty underwhelming, but he's a freaking sophomore. You know, you're going to have underwhelming games, and especially when you've got a quarterback who isn't, you know, elite throwing you the ball.
Yeah. I mean, to have to replace Jim Knowles.
Their defense was fine.
I thought it was really good. And I think
Especially in the red zone again.
Yeah, like I was watching some analysts, I forget, but talking about like Matt Patricia and I think Sark had said like they threw different coverages. Like he came, like this is a guy, I think Cowherd was talking about this morning, like this guy was trying to stop like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and stuff. And, you know, he's going to put out stuff there that's going to confuse the heck out of a college quarterback, especially making his first start away from home. So I didn't know how it would work because I love the way Knowles was calling up defenses. And NFL guys, you don't really know. But Patricia, I think, did a really nice job. So, yeah, shout out to him. Ohio State looks – if you thought they were going to take a huge step back, don't think they're going to take a huge step back.
No, definitely not.
And then our number one team –
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of Nevada. They won by 35. I think that means they did not cover because the line was 43.5. We both took Penn State.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about this game. They blew them out. Who cares?
Yeah, this was not. We had some rough starts to for cover cities, but yeah. Good stuff. I think let me put this comment up here. Tried to throw some comments up as we're going. He said, I turned Texas and OSU off at halftime. Watching Utah destroy my Bruins was more entertaining than watching that. It wasn't very entertaining. But, you know, I think those heavyweight fights right out of the gate. The LSU-Clemson game wasn't great, but LSU kind of dominated that one in the second half. There was some good stuff like Notre Dame and Miami. What was the other? There was another top 10 game. What am I blanking?
Did you say Clemson-LSU?
Clemson-LSU. Was it Notre Dame-Miami wasn't top 10s, right? Like that was, or was that a top 10 one also?
Might have been.
I forget what the other one was. But yeah, there was a lot of good games. This weekend's only like one ranked-unranked matchup. But having three top 10 teams.
Well, and Florida State beating Bama, but that was not a ranked-unranked game.
Right, yeah. But so I think it was the first weekend in a long time that four top 10 teams lost. So Bama going down, that was kind of interesting as well. So as bad as Florida State was last year, losing to everybody, they come out of the gates and just whip up on Bama. So
that's the thing with the portal era, and it's also the thing with adding Gus Malzahn as your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Gus Bus was
guy's still running. A stud.
I thought the for the USC game, like the Petrino family is big part of Missouri State. I thought, oh, they'll score some points and stuff, and they got a field goal to start, but man, they couldn't do anything. It was pretty bad. All right, let's preview this week's. I haven't looked at anything, so this is going to be fun. Let's start on Friday. We've got
Northwestern Wildcats.
There is no line on this game because it is an FCS garbage game. It is at 4:30 p.m. Friday. We're recording on Wednesday. On the Big Ten Network, Western Illinois at Northwestern. Northwestern could lose because Northwestern is terrible, but I don't think they will.
I found a line somewhere that was like 45 or something.
Would take Western Illinois if the line is 45.
Yes, but we both picked Northwestern this week because they could be very, 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 very bad, and this might be
the only
certainly
chance.
The best chance to win, so that's why we picked them.
Though there is that UCLA-Northwestern game in a couple weeks. Ooh, that everyone should be circling.
That'll
now.
Be fun. I wasn't even thinking. I got to pick UCLA at some point, but I can't pick them on the road at UNLV.
I think the obvious UCLA pick is next week. New Mexico at home.
Okay, but that even that's like...
UNLV on the road was a little bit more dangerous, and New Mexico at home is the only obvious one left.
Okay. All right, next up, we got the now. Looks like they're perky.
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap. 4:30 p.m. also on the Big Ten Network. Northern Illinois traveling to Maryland. Maryland is a 16.5 point favorite now. Did I write that in the thing?
You wrote 17.5.
Okay, it's moved down. We're going to take the 16.5 because I'm taking Maryland.
Yeah, I think I'll take Maryland. Do you know anything about Northern Illinois?
Not a damn thing, and I don't care to learn.
Yeah, I was like, last week I like pulled up stuff. It didn't really help.
All I know is I liked what I saw from Maryland.
I
think Malik Washington actually looked pretty legit.
And I think there's going to be some motivation here to try to like get some momentum. So
and Northern Illinois is a very similar like level of team as FAU, so should be able to smoke them.
I like that. I like the smoke ability. Now we got number two in the polls, but number one in our Big Ten
in our hearts,
in our power rankings.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network, Florida International. When you see Florida International, do you think, you know how there's like multiple Georgias, right? Like there's Georgia, the state in, you know, United States, but then there's Georgia, the country in the Caucasus range. Do you think like Florida International is like someplace in Turkey?
Florida. Turkey Eye?
Yeah. anywho, Florida International traveling all the way to Penn State. Penn State's a 42.5-point favorite. They didn't cover the big spread last week against Nevada.
Yeah.
Are they going to cover the big spread this week?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too. FIU, baby. We're riding with the International Floridas. Whenever I see Florida International, I think that. But then I also think FITM, you know, the Fashion Institute of Design and Management.
I don't think they have a football team.
Yeah, but I think it's FI, so I'm just like, it's FITM again.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're the Panthers, so that's sort of a row.
And they actually beat Bethune-Cookman last week, 42-9.
Beat the hell out of them.
So if they score 42 points against Penn State, that means they got to win by like 85 points. So no, I'm going to take FAU.
That's right.
FIU. Baby. Whatever.
Whatever. F and acronym
F
there.
And U. All right. Number 11.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
Also at 9 a.m. on ESPN, number 11, Illinois traveling to Duke. So this is a rare P5 on P5 crime happening this Saturday.
And on the road.
Yes. Duke is a 2.5-point dog. Illinois is favored by 2.5 on the road. I really liked Illinois last week. I think they've got an experienced, very good quarterback in Luke Altmyer. Give me those Illini.
Yeah, I'm going Illini too. Going on the road here, but they...
I want to say Duke also didn't look impressive in week one. Is that correct? Does that seem right? I'm going to vibe it, but I think that's correct.
I can look real quick, but yeah.
They actually beat Elon, but I want to say it was close for a little while. It was 45-17. Yeah, Elon, it was tied at halftime. So yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Give me Illinois.
Yeah, I'll do the same. Just Illinois could be a little bit of a buzzsaw, maybe. I don't know. So I'm going to go with those vibes.
Yep.
We got a rivalry game.
That's right, baby.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
9 a.m. on Big Fox. Iowa taking on number 16, Iowa State in Ames. It's in Ames. Iowa State's a 3.5-point home favorite. Iowa didn't look impressive in week one. You're saying that about their JC quarterback?
Yeah.
What the hell? Let's go Iowa State.
All right.
This game, actually, no. Give me Iowa, because this game is never more than 3 points, except when it is.
That's true.
Give me
Iowa. I like that. I was going to go Iowa State. I'll go with you because it's always like super close. So
it's always a close, awful game that nobody enjoys.
So 3.5. Yeah, I love that. The College Football Inquirer, like Dan Wetzel's old podcast, they used to play like there's a theme song for Ames. It was like talking about how clean their tap water. It was like this, like, why? Yay. It was like, hooray for Ames. It was like, oh, it's really funny when they would play it. So I think about it. Just because that song's terrible, I'll take Iowa.
Nice.
Okay. Next, we got number 23.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
9 a.m. on FS1. Kennesaw State, one of the newest additions to FBS football, traveling to number 23, Indiana. Indiana's a 35.5-point favorite, but here's what I will say about Kennesaw State. You know what they did last week?
They lost by a point.
By a point on the road at Wake Forest. That is another P4 team. They lost by a point. I'm going Kennesaw State here, plus 35.5.
Yeah. I think I'm going to follow you here because... Mostly because if I pick a team to cover a lot of points in 1 week and they don't do it, I get mad at them so that I don't pick them to cover it in the next week. So I think they'll figure some stuff out over there. But the Cal fans seem to not be that upset that Mendoza was gone, seeing whatever their dudes. What's the freshman quarterback that's awesome for Cal?
Oh,
I forget his name. But
Jerron JKS.
JKS, yeah. They just seem to be like, goodbye, got good riddance or whatever. So I'm not as high on the Indiana train yet. I wasn't when we did our over-unders. What did I have? Indiana was 8.5. You took the over. I took the under. I was like, I don't think they're going to be as good this year. So that's a lot of points to cover. I'll take Kennesaw State since they played not a great Wake Forest team, but they played them close.
Great.
Next up, we've got... Where is this?
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
That's another 9 a.m. or Big Ten Network. Northwestern State at Minnesota. Doesn't matter. FCS game. Who cares?
Yeah. Is this... There's like the 18th 9 a.m. game of the week?
There's five of them. And two of the good games. Like two of the P4 on P4 games.
Jeez.
Brutal.
All right. Well, here's one team that this is for the first time in 3 years they haven't been playing at noon. It's the...
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
That is 12:30 on the Big Ten Network. Grambling, traveling to number one Ohio State. FCS, who cares?
I think we got another one of these. All right. Number six.
Oregon Ducks.
12:30 p.m. on the CBS, Paramount Plus, Oklahoma State Cowboys. I'm going to wrangle some cows. No, are they wrangling cows? What are Cowboys doing? I guess they are.
Yeah.
Traveling to number six, Oregon. Oregon is a 29.5 point favorite over Oklahoma State. Damn, how the mighty have fallen.
P4. Did you see some of the exchange?
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to make Dan Lanning more encouraged to go ham in this one.
I think that's why, because...
I'm going Oregon.
Yeah, give me Oregon, too.
When he's feeling ornery, things tend to go sideways for other teams.
Yeah. They were. I think he... What was the comparison? Like Dollar Tree to Neiman Marcus or something?
Basically.
Like?
Yeah, and then Dan Lanning came, you know, he was like, yeah, we spend to win. You know, other programs don't spend so they can make excuses.
Yeah, it was... that was.
I wouldn't know anything about that covering UCLA.
Gundy was... you know, it was just one of those things. Like, do you remember a guy named T. Boone Pickens? Like, when you couldn't pay players, that dude was giving you guys millions and millions. And he's been dead for like 5 years now. So you had your super booster, and the complaint about someone else's super booster seems a little meh. So I don't think Oregon likes to be called out for money. Hold on. Do we have the... oh, wait. Let me see if we have...
I know we need the money,
listen. We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
That was a good one from the old Pac-12 days. But yeah, I think Oregon doesn't like to be called out for spending tons of money. So I think they're going to put a beat down on the Cowboys, who were really, really bad last year.
Absolutely.
I think they'll be better this year, but they were bad last year. Okay, next up.
Rutgers, Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
12:30 p.m. on Peacock. Miami of Ohio traveling to Rutgers. Rutgers again played very far down to Ohio, and this is another program from Ohio, but not the Ohio State University. Rutgers is a 15.5 point home favorite. I got to take Miami of Ohio here. They played Wisconsin close-ish, and Rutgers looked like dirt last week.
Rutgers didn't look good. The defense was really, really bad. I could see them trying to keep this close, and yeah, like I have zero trust in the defense from what I saw last week. So I'm going to go with you on this one and go with Miami of Ohio. We've agreed on all these, which
Damn,
is not...
That's not good. We got to switch it up.
I'll just pick something different from you. All right, next up.
Wisconsin Badgers.
1 p.m. on FS1, Middle Tennessee at Wisconsin. Did Billy Edwards got hurt last week?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't know.
He is the quarterback for Wisconsin, correct?
I thought he came out or something and then came back.
He's likely out versus Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
Look, aren't you glad I do my research?
Yeah.
1 p.m. on FS1, Middle Tennessee, traveling to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a 28.5 point favorite. I think that will leave San Diego State transfer Danny O'Neill as their starting quarterback.
Oh,
is
nice.
That correct? Give me Middle Tennessee.
Shoot. I was going to go against you, but I'm not super impressed.
Middle Tennessee did lose by 20 to Austin Peay last week.
Okay, I'll go Wisconsin then. So just to go different than you.
Fair enough.
I don't have a lot of faith, especially with a backup quarterback, but maybe they kind of turn things around in week two. We will see. All right, here's the big one. The big one. The biggest one of the week. The only game between ranked opponents for week two in college football, which is a big drop off from what we saw in week one. But still, it should be a good one. We've got...
Michigan Wolverines.
4:30 p.m. on ABC, number 15, Michigan, traveling to the number 18, Oklahoma Sooners. I guess we're here early. Let's steal some land. Oklahoma's a 5.5 point home favorite. It really depends on how much you take from Michigan.
You said 2.5 in the dock. Is that right?
Wow, it jumped to 5.5? Maybe I was wrong on the dock? Well, it's 5.5 now, so I think that's a big spread.
Okay.
Damn.
That changes things.
Yeah, that changes things drastically for me. Actually, it doesn't. All right. Michigan, depends on how much you take from their home win against New Mexico. They didn't look great.
No.
They just didn't. Bryce Underwood, though, pretty good player. John Mateer, though, for Oklahoma, also a pretty good player.
He kind of struggled early, I think, and then looked good.
Yeah, but probably a pretty good player. Is this too many points? Is 5.5 too many?
I could just go opposite of you if you want.
I'm taking Oklahoma. -5.5. You don't want to.
I don't want to. I was going to go Oklahoma. I'm going to go Oklahoma too, but okay. I mean, I watched some Michigan. Like, if I pick you and you don't cover, I mean, I didn't pick Michigan to cover. You did, but I watched it with intent, and I'm like, you're having a hard time covering against New Mexico. I'm like, okay. I think just on the road at Oklahoma, true freshman quarterback, I could see it just sort of going south a little bit. So I think this is a big one for the Big Ten if you can get this win. Obviously, the Texas-Ohio State thing, it was on the road. Maybe it's different if it's in Austin. If I mean, it's a big one if Michigan can get the win here. You need to get those head-to-heads versus the SEC. It matters later in the season when there's all people bitching about which 9-3 team should get in.
Yep.
So definitely pulling for Michigan on this one. But if I have the bet, I'm going to take Oklahoma.
Yep.
All right. Here's a good one.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Did you say
corn?
Did you say a good one? Akron traveling to Nebraska, 4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Nebraska is a 30. Well, let me just check what I have in the doc because I only wrote this a little while. Okay, 34.5. That is correct. Akron lost 10-0 to Wyoming last week. Nebraska didn't look super impressive against Cincinnati, but I think the delta between Cincinnati and Akron is probably pretty huge.
I would
still
hope so.
I'm not super confident in 34.5 points. That's too many for me, so I'm going to take Akron +34.5.
All right. I thought, let me go down and look.
Are we just agreeing too much?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. So,
are you just going to disagree just for the hell of it?
I'm going to disagree for the hell of it, which I hate this for a 35 point spread. But yeah, they get to go home. Last week was in Arrowhead. I was one of those people that I thought Nebraska could actually be pretty good this year and maybe like push for like a 9-3, be in the playoff talk kind of thing if things sort of go.
Are you flipping on that this early?
No, but I'm just going to stick with my initial gut and not overreact to what I saw in week one, which wasn't very impressive. I will go Nebraska here. And then I'm going to, so when I look back at this, do you ever do this when we do our picks? Obviously it happened like 3 days before the games start or to, you know, whatever. And so it's so far out of your mind, you don't even know what you did. And then you're looking at your picks and you're watching the game. You're like, why would I pick Nebraska to cover 34.5? Like, that's what I'm going to be saying when I'm watching this, you know, or I'm looking at a screen because the USC games at the same time. I'm like, it'll be like 14-7 or something like in the third quarter. I'm like, what the hell? Why did I pick Nebraska to cover 34.5 points? What was I thinking? So I'm telling myself now that's what I'm doing.
All right. I love it.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Next up, we got
USC Trojans.
It's a homecoming, baby. 4:30 p.m. on FS1, Georgia Southern. The Fighting Clay Heltons are coming to town to USC. Revenge on his mind. He was unfairly treated by USC, by the administration,
you know,
by the
Rose
faithful.
Bowl?
Yes, he won a Rose Bowl.
When's the last time UCLA won a Rose Bowl?
That's right. Exactly. Clay Helton, one of the GOATs of all time. That's the greatest of all time of all time. USC's a 28.5 point favorite. There is no way you can take the Trojans against the Fighting Clay Heltons. But I'm going to anyway. Give me USC -28.5.
I had to type the darn wrong thing. Oh my God. Like, Georgia Southern just got blown out by Fresno State. Fresno State week one got blown out by Kansas on the road. Georgia Southern goes to Fresno 42-14 or something like that. 351 rushing yards given up. They're staying in Oxnard. They didn't go back to Georgia. They're staying in Oxnard this week. I was on a Zoom call with Clay Helton. I have like PTSD. I asked him questions. he's like the nicest guy in the world. He greeted me like an old friend. He was like, hey, Ryan, I hope you're well. I mean, it was, but the, well, it was a tale of two halves, and there were four or six. That's 66%. Like, some of the stuff he says, you're just like, oh, my God. It's just not an alpha football coach. And I like the guy, but he's just not very good. And I think USC, everywhere in the organization, they understand. Like, for a UCLA fan, if you were smart, and apparently there's not a lot of smart ones, you would have put all your money into Georgia Southern NIL donations. If Georgia Southern could pull off the upset, I think the USC football program would cease to exist. You could eliminate the program entirely. Like, they could not go anywhere if Clay Helton comes in there and wins. So I think everyone from the AD on down knows this has to just be an absolute destruction. Like, they beat a team by 60 last week. I don't think that's going to be enough. They're going to want to pile it on. I don't know if they can, but I think there's motivation to just exercise some demons and get rid of this. So I think, yeah, that's not enough points by far.
Yeah, agreed.
Sorry, there's a little rant there, but
no, I loved it. I loved
many, many
of
years of like
you're traumatized by
in these
Clay
press
Helton
conferences,
era.
Like, you know, situational mastery and Taylor. I mean, just the same stuff. Like, oh my God! And
faith,
I like
faith, family, football.
He's
right?
So yes, iron sharpens iron. All of the, like, I can't tell you
you're
how
traumatized.
I've lived through that stuff. But he's really nice. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, USC fan gets mad at me, but whatever. Okay, next up,
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge.
Michigan State, 4:30 p.m. on NBC. Boston College traveling to East Lansing. Michigan State's a 4.5-point home favorite. This was a very close and weird game at Boston College last year, if I remember correctly. Michigan State, I think, ended up winning, but it was a strange game.
Yeah.
No, they ended up losing 23-19. That's right. Boston College last week, I mean, it's Fordham. But they won 66-10. I mean, that's a lot of points.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it is Fordham, but I think Fordham is like one of the good Patriot League teams, right? No?
I can't tell.
I don't know. Dude, who knows? Why am I even trying to say?
BC,
what am I doing here?
Nebraska beat BC in the Pinstripe Bowl in December.
Okay.
20-15. But it was close.
Do we trust Aiden Childs to cover 4.5 points?
No. Oh,
4.5.
I kind of do. Okay, I'll do this. I'm going to go Michigan State. So you...
I'll go BC. What the hell? Let's split on that one.
All right. He didn't really turn the ball over home. You know, I'm going to give him a little love. Okay. This is wild if your document is true.
Purdue Boilermakers.
That's right. There's no line for this game.
What?
4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Southern Illinois traveling to Purdue. No line. We don't care. Purdue's going to blow them out. This newfound Purdue era under Barry Odom.
All right. Next.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
5 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. Your UCLA Bruins traveling to UNLV. UCLA,
how much is UCLA favored by? Because it's the Power 5 versus Group of 5.
Yeah, it should be a lot, right?
What are they favored by?
2.5 points. Do you know what that means?
Wait.
Do you know what that means?
What?
They're a road favorite, baby.
Wow.
I know. I couldn't believe it myself. But you want to know what? Most analytics systems have UNLV as the true favorite here.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know which way I'm going on this yet for my official preview. Right now it's kind of gut instinct.
Okay. I wrote down something for you.
Here's what I'll say. UNLV's offense is pretty good, and it's pretty good in similar ways to how Utah's was projected to be pretty good, in that they have running quarterbacks.
How did that
a good
work
running
out?
Game, and they run spread option a lot.
Oh,
if you watched UCLA against Utah, it looked like a defense. The defense, here's what I'll say. It looked like a defense, like the first time Chip Kelly broke out his Oregon offense in 2000, what would that have been, 7? It looked like the defense that first had to play against him. And it was like, wait.
What's going
they're
on?
They're faking the run, and then the quarterback is pulling it. What is happening? It looked like they had never seen the zone read before, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
If Dan Mullen just wants to run his offense from like 2008, they can probably successfully do that. So UCLA may be able to score some points. I don't know. I honestly don't. But I think UNLV is going to be able to score some points pretty consistently. I'm taking the Rebs.
Me too. I mean, no question. I wrote that down for you. I'm like, duh. Like, come on. They looked so bad last week.
They looked so bad. And UNLV has not been any great shakes, but they looked better than UCLA has so far.
What did UNLV do week one?
They played with their food against, I think it was Idaho State.
Okay. But like the Barry Odom effect like is still lingering. Like he left stuff. And, you know, as far as Dan Mullen coming in, I think he can be good. Like, do you take Dan Mullen or over Deshaun Foster? Like year one, Dan Mullen, Deshaun Foster year two? Like, I'm taking Dan Mullen.
Huh. Wow. Bold pick.
Yeah. Not that bold. Come on.
Did you not notice the sarcasm dripping from that?
I couldn't see.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Oh. All right, last one.
It's viscous.
This is game 27 of the weekend. Baby. We're halfway through. No, this is the last one.
Washington Huskies.
8 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Another 8 p.m. home game for Washington. I'm sure they're excited. I'm sure Chris Peterson is rolling over in his grave. UC Davis traveling to Washington. There is no line on this game. Nobody cares.
So we're done with it. Love it. Okay, so why don't we... How long did that take? 55 minutes? What'd you think? That's not bad.
That's not bad. We can do that. But I do want to get through these questions in about 20 minutes. You think that's possible?
Holy crap. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be back. You want to get through these questions in 20 minutes?
Oh, I want to, baby.
All right, let's start off with our buddy.
Hey, what's up, Ryan and Dave? It's Perk. Hope you guys had a great Labor Day weekend and opening weekend of college football. My question for this week isn't even a question. It is to note that Purdue and USC play each other on September 13th. And Ryan, unlike Dave, you actually travel to the games. And so I wanted to offer, instead of you guys always giving us out, jockey gift cards and doing POC meetups, if you indeed travel to Indiana for this game, in Indianapolis, I'll buy you a beer. Maybe even pick you up from the airport, depending on when your flight is. But you know, don't worry. There's plenty of places in Indiana for us to go eat, or go do stuff at. Despite Dave calling it the worst state in the Big Ten, we've got places like, Applebee's, if you've heard of Applebee's, Cheddar's, I think they sponsor a NASCAR driver. And, we got Cracker Barrel, but not the woke one, the new, old one.
Good.
That's way better.
You can't have the woke Cracker Barrel.
Happy to buy you a beer if you come in Indianapolis for the Purdue USC game. And, I look forward to you updating everybody that you're not attending, after this offer. So thanks guys.
Thanks Perk. So was he not offering me a beer that I will be there, actually?
He is offering you a beer.
Oh, yes. I thought he was just offering you one.
I'm not going to be there.
Yeah. Well, he said he's trying to entice you to go.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
I got to apologize to EVS. I said, you know, if UCLA fans were smart, and obviously they're not, he said that hurts. No, you guys are smart, obviously, but that would have been brilliant if you, like, flooded the war chest of Georgia Southern.
You could
literally kill the program of your rival if you did that.
A better thing that Ryan could have said is if UCLA fans were rational. Because if you were rational, what would you be doing right now? Anything else. You wouldn't be following any of this anymore. But you're not rational, and that's why I love you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not either.
Andrew said, rolling in a non-existent grave as Chris Peterson is still very much alive.
Yes, correct. That was the joke.
We know that one. Yeah. All right. One more voicemail.
Hi, the message is for Ryan and Jeff. This is Eddie from Orange. Apologize for the voicemail last week. I'll try to keep this short and sweet. Jeff, do you think Coach Foster was doing you a favor by limiting the amount of media exposure this team had? Do you think he saw the team in the spring and was like, you know what, Jeff Woods' mental capacity, he's like, he can't handle seeing this team practice 15 times in the summer. Like, Jeff is a good guy. I care about him. I care about his family. I can't do this to him. You know, I got to make him watch 12 games in fall. I can't have him watch 15 practices in the summer. I can't do that to this guy. So the question is, Jeff, should you apologize to Coach Foster for your tirade you had last week, now knowing that he was most likely doing you a favor? helping you out, looking out for you and your mental health. Thanks, guys.
He brings up a great point. I've been looking at this all wrong. I should be thankful.
You don't have to watch.
And this. I think I should exhibit more gratitude. I should have an attitude of, in fact, gratitude regarding not being forced to watch more of whatever this team is attempting to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And you're going to Vegas.
That's right, baby.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I can't believe you're going in person this
week. I can't believe it either.
I should go. I think who did it worst is the first email. We'll try to read through these quick, although they're all, I think, somewhat long. In a recent video, each Big Ten coach was asked to pick one historical player from their team's history to suit up today. Lan Danning chose Haloti Ngata, and Lincoln Riley chose Troy Polamalu. Both good choices. Jed, quote, my wife took the kids away to another time zone, fish. Chose Laura Malloy, also a respectable choice. But there were two obvious standouts for worst choices. Sherrone Moore chose five players because you can never count on Michigan to follow the rules of a game. And UCLA legend Deshaun Foster, who himself is in fact in LA, responded simply with, me. Why be humble and choose any other UCLA greats when you could just choose yourself? So champions, which of those two coaches had the worst answer? Quote, I've got delusions of grandeur, and I'm seeing it through. MPFM. And then science knows it doesn't know anything. Otherwise, it would stop. Dana O'Brien.
Okay. Love that. The worst answer is Sherrone Moore, because, you know, you're literally picking a guy. I will say about Deshaun Foster's answer, obviously, there were much better players throughout UCLA history, and I don't think this team's weakness is a running back, so I do think it is not a well-considered choice.
Yeah.
I think this team's
sure more trying not to like leave people out. Like,
yeah, but that's lame.
That's the whole point.
Just pick one.
Pick a stud.
Pick a Heisman winner, dude, and just chill out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you can't go wrong if you pick one of those guys. All right. You got this one?
Yeah. This is from, is it
John Abrea? Yeah.
Is it an actual email or is it just saying he got the gift cards? Anyway, John Abrea, gift cards. Dear Ryan and Dave, thank you for continuing this endeavor. When I first started listening to the podcast of Champions almost a decade ago, it changed my life. And I must say, the POC remains as relevant today as it was back then. Just for fun, I went into the archives on the POC website, scrolled down and hit Show More a couple dozen times, and found one of the first POC episodes I ever listened to. I think the title of this 48-minute episode is a perfect illustration of what the POC is all about. It reads, after a brief hiatus, the podcast of Champions returns talking about early spring football for Arizona and Stanford. Needless to say, I was hooked. Fast forward to 2025, and I could not live with myself if I didn't do all I can to help the POC thrive into the future. With that in mind, I will be sending Ryan 17 Trader Joe's gift cards for you both to use to promote the POC. Use them when you do a live remote from a strip mall in the Midwest. Give them to the best POC review posted on Spotify, or save them for a weekly incentive to reward the best question about our founding fathers' undergarments. It's totally up to you. For the dollar amount of the 17 gift cards, let's go with the amount of points Michigan scores versus New Mexico. Thank you for changing my life, and for all the minutes of time you put into each episode, may the POC live forever. Stay real, John Abrea. What a man. What a man.
Thanks, John. Man. So we have $35 gift cards coming because Michigan kind of shit the bed a little bit and should have put up more on New Mexico. But when the spread was 34.5 and you only scored 35, that's bad.
Oh, the next one is the most important email of the week.
Hey, David, you're still my favorite Pac-12 podcast and always will be, even if you talk about weird Midwestern stuff. Now, anyways, I need to get your take on something important. K-pop Demon Hunters, my daughters love it, and I saw it in theaters with them. I know you're an aficionado of both film and children's cartoons, so let's hear it. Thanks, Bobby.
Bobby, this is a great question. I watched this with my 9-year-old daughter last week. For those who are not familiar, who are not versed in the lore, K-pop Demon Hunters is an animated film about three K-pop stars who, it's sort of like Vampire Slayer, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer lore, where part of their calling as these K-pop artists is also to fight off demons. And part of their thing is that their music, it's this, and it carries on through the ages, right? Like kind of like the Vampire Slayer thing, where like every generation there's one that's called. It's these three girls who are these K-pop stars who their music creates this shield that prevents the underworld demons from coming through and breaking through. It's a really nice conceit. I thought the story was good. I thought the music was pretty good. I liked the animation. I would say it was a pretty, you know, overall, you know, empowering story for the most part. I would give it a solid 8.5.
Wow.
Like, it was a good time.
I think it's the most watched movie ever. Downloaded movie ever.
I think it's getting a little excessively hyped. I think it's a really solid animated movie. I recommend it for anyone with, I wouldn't say any of the demon stuff is super scary. So I think you're fine kind of whatever age. But yeah, it's good stuff. Recommend.
Oh yeah. My friend's got a son and a daughter, 5 and 3 about that. And they watch it. So small kids are watching it too, but I think it's over 100 million downloads or something. Like it's like, I think it's the most downloaded thing ever. Crazy.
We have an important thing in the chat.
Oh, sorry.
Matthew, what a man.
Hold on, let me pull it up.
We got here. A super chat, baby.
Oh, we got a super chat? Let's. Yep.
He says, Ryan, in honor of your 30 years, what would the point spread be between the best SC team you've covered and the worst? So that's, he's saying 04 and 21.
Wow. Thank you, Matthew. Yeah, this will be my 30th season of running USCfootball.com, covering the team. Crazy. Jeez. So like the 04 team, I mean, they were like, that's an era where you score points and you didn't let other people score points too. Like if they weren't that good.
Yeah, I would say the spread would only be like 27.
I don't think it could go more than 4 touchdowns, but it would be close to that.
It was a different era.
Yeah. Thanks for the super chat. That's awesome.
I mean, the 05 USC team did outscore UCLA 69-17. I don't remember that final score at all. No, 66-19. Sorry. My fault.
The one that beat Oklahoma, 55-19 in the Orange Bowl over Oklahoma. Like, that was a crazy one.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not, like, we can't talk about which coaches are going to be demon hunters and stuff. No. I think you're next. Welcome back.
All right, this is from Andy. Hello, I'm up watching San Jose State and Central Michigan battle, and it made me realize I hadn't heard your show since May 8th. I went into my app to delete it, assuming you guys were done, and voila, there were 6 episodes waiting for my listening enjoyment. And you can bet your sweet buns I'm going to listen to every single one. Thank you for trudging on so I can listen to the best team breakdowns, accurate predictions, and insightful recaps from the most knowledgeable duo in the podcasting universe. Your show truly brings enjoyment to the season. Wow. Now on to my question. I need a new recommendation for a show to watch. Some shows I have recently watched and enjoyed are Severance, Yellowstone and spinoffs, The Boys, Andor, and American Primeval. What are a few that you have recently watched and enjoyed? Thanks, and can't wait to hear some answers in a few weeks when I'm caught up. Andy. Andy, what I am watching currently is Alien Earth.
Oh, is that good?
Which is on Hulu. It's interesting.
Okay.
I'm not really ready.
I like Alien. I like the franchise.
It's worth watching so far. I'm not ready to concede that it's good. And then I'm watching the Peacemaker season 2.
Okay.
Which has just come out. If you guys didn't watch Peacemaker season 1, I think it's one of the best like superhero things that's been done. Like, I think it's really funny. It's very good. John Cena is awesome.
Okay.
So if you haven't watched that, give that a look. And then season 2 is out right now. I think they're like 2 or 3 episodes in.
Which one is that? Like, which network?
That's DC. It's HBO.
HBO. Okay.
Yeah. I don't get it's that very one. Vulgar. It's very, you know, hyper-violent. It's really funny. Like, I would say the first season is funny and kind of heartwarming at times.
I'm not great at watching, like, series and stuff, but I did start the original Dexter. I never saw that.
Ah. I watched the original Dexter. I liked it okay.
It
loses steam.
It does?
Yeah.
It's on Paramount Plus, which you get 247. If you're in 60% off right now, if you want to be an annual member on
That's right, baby.
Whatever site you follow. Rebuild Meta. Hello, gents. For no reason at all, I was thinking, how does a program with talent deficiencies and not a particular competitive NIL program rebuild a program that has squeezed nearly all but the diehard fans to fandom death over the last decade? Well, I'm sure no team in particular will have an opening after this season because good things never happen to good people. Say a team theoretically had an opening after the season because they wanted to take football seriously. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's also say a coach like Kalen DeBoer is fired from Alabama, who once was rumored to have been willing to crawl over glass to come to a school that happens to be located in the city of Angels. This coach, however, would have zero players to bring with him via the transfer portal as he'd be coming from the unemployment line. Meanwhile, a coach from an FCS or G5 could in theory do a Cignetti and immediately infuse a roster with players they bring over, even if they are a smaller name coach with less of a proven track record at the P5 level. In the current era of the transfer portal, is the way to breathe life into a listless program the massive influx of talent with a current sitting coach, or go get the best coach available, even if they have no players to bring along with them? Alex and SF.
Not to punt on the question, but I would say the option is a third option, which is, I think, for a program that has massive NIL issues, as you say, and talent deficiencies, you got to look into the why of that first. You got to look into what's systemically wrong. And so that requires, I think, a sea change in the commitment at a higher level than necessarily the football coach. Because whatever, usually, I mean, if you've got systemic issues like that, the football program being good or bad or whatever is a symptom of whatever's going on higher up. Yeah. So if the football program is good, usually that's a symptom of things going well in the athletic department. If the football program is bad, usually that's a symptom of things going poorly in the athletic department. If the football is egregiously awful, it's because things are disastrously bad in the AD. So I think you can run into situations where there'll be a one-off, like, ah, oh, man, they made a bad hire. Okay, well, they'll figure that out on the next one. And then there's situations where there's no one-off. It's a perpetual and systemic issue. And that's where you need to think about cleaning house. Like, you need to think about, like, what are the broad changes that can be made to make us serious about this sport in a way that wasn't necessarily true the last, you know, however many times we've made a hire or fire decision.
Gotcha. Okay.
Next up, this is from Dustin. Will UCLA football ever be good again? It's abundantly clear that the first impression of the Deshaun Foster hire was correct. Nice guy, a Bruin great, but not qualified for the job, and his hire was rushed by Martin Jarman, who created an artificial deadline because he was scared of looking bad if the process took too long. Jarman created this crisis and the difficulty of hiring a coach out of the usual coaching carousel by refusing to do the obvious and fire Chip Kelly, who had obviously failed and didn't want to be there. Foster and Jarman are obvious failures, and UCLA has gone from competing for conference championships and even being mentioned as potential national championship contenders under Mora and Toledo to a complete laughingstock in football. It seems as if UCLA isn't serious and never will be unless Chancellor Julio Frank steps in and demands that UCLA take football seriously. I hope he does, because for me, the UCLA football is over before September. It's not getting better. Dave, how much of my post-game ranting do you agree with? What are the odds Foster is fired this year? More importantly, is there any hope UCLA will commit to football again and compete at the level of Mora's initial years? What would it take for this to happen? I don't know how much of this I even want to comment on right now. I agree with your sentiment. Maybe not every detail, but I agree with your sentiment. What are the odds Foster is fired this year? I don't think anyone can know that sort of thing at this point. More importantly, is there any hope UCLA will commit to football again and compete at the level of Mora's initial years? That was just 10 years ago. So my answer would be, of course. Now, what's the time horizon for that? That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
It takes a while. And what would it take for this to happen? Might have to punt on that one too, but you could see my previous answer for a generic response. But I do think there is... there's a lot of structural change that needs to take place at UCLA.
Like a Wasserman can just step in and start like throwing money around, or?
I mean, if they wanted to get T. Boone Pickens by somebody, that would be awesome. And I think that would, money solves a lot of problems in today's college football, but the willingness to accept a T. Boone Pickens, like these are things that are structural.
That's true. Yeah.
Ryan, what is an outsider's perspective on why UCLA has become so hopeless?
I mean, I think the Chip Kelly thing was pretty unique, just because at the time it looked like a great hire, you know, and then he sort of was like mailing it in, and it just wasn't right. And I think his actions did really hurt the program. And then being in a bad spot where you have to bring in an inexperienced head coach. I was hopeful after year one for Deshaun Foster. It seemed like, but his actions this offseason have been, that doesn't look like a coach that's got to figure it out and they're going in the right direction. That's bad.
My main thing is it's weird. It's just weird. Like, one of your main jobs is like essentially outreach. It's essentially to kind of promote your program and make it so people want to invest in it. And not just invest, like, you know, go to games, but like invest their time and paying attention to it. And when you make it hard to do that, you don't encourage that. And as Ben Bolch discovered this week, the true state of UCLA fandom is dire. Like, people aren't going to games. And if you don't have people going to games, soon you don't have people watching games, and soon you don't have people caring at all. And you can't run a program if no one cares. Yeah. If no one cares, then you don't have any dollars coming in.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Next up is you.
Yeah, I got this one. Pac-12 Standogami. I don't. Is it, do you know
sure. What? Whatever. Okay. I don't know what that means.
Hi, Ryan and Jeff. It's the first time ever Cal, Utah, and Washington are the only schools with a winning record in Pac-12 conference play. Thanks for your attention on this matter. Je.
Beautiful. Love it.
Nice. Including all teams ever included in Pac-12, 1959 to 2026.
That's incredible.
Did they play? Like, wait, who did they play?
Cal played Oregon State.
Oh, yeah. Utah played UCLA and Washington.
Colorado State.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they're okay. They're Pac-12 now.
Yeah.
Oh, like, love it.
All right. This is Dylan in Albuquerque. Dave, if money wasn't a factor, would you agree it would have made sense for UCLA to stay in the Pac-12? They look to be on the same abysmal level as Washington State and Oregon State the other night, but hey, how about those Golden Bears? Together, they would all make a cute conference with the likes of Fresno State, San Diego State, and so on. After watching the Bruins' first game, what is your new season win total projection? Also, is Nico ass? Now, those are a lot of hostile questions, Dylan and Albuquerque, but I will try to tackle them in order. I always thought it would have made sense for UCLA to stay in the Pac-12 and try to continue it. Because I think if they had, they would have had a chance of persuading Oregon and Washington to do the same. I don't think it ever would have made sense to go into a, you know, G5 version of the Pac-12, but maybe it makes more sense in the Big Ten. A lot of things make more sense in the Big Ten. My win projection now is probably somewhere on the 4-8 line, I would say. And then is Nico ass? He is not ass. I would say he's a good, promising quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think he is a finished product. I think he has a lot of refinement still to do. And I think people who are crowning him as a obvious first-round NFL draft pick after this year are delusional.
Yeah. That touchdown pass was great. He ran the ball well. Like, yeah, there's some...
He needs to work on his accuracy.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of arm talent there, and I think he's a really, really exceptional athlete.
All right. This one titled, Mercifully, It Has Come to an End. Thank God that Lee Corso finally retired. He should have done so 10 years ago. Everybody knew the Holtz was nuts, but at least he quit or got fired before he stroked out and started babbling. Oh, man, this is tough. Same with Beano Cook and that Ho Nelly guy. Always get out before people start feeling sorry for you. But just like an old punch drunk boxer, Corso stayed too long. Frank in Sacramento. You seem like you'd be fun at parties, man.
That was rough. That was rough, Frank. I would say, so my thing
was tough after the stroke, but still, like, he's a beloved figure.
My Corso thing is this. I think there's a difference between putting somebody on TV versus, like, engaging with them. I think too often in this country, we sort of make being old and being infirm kind of taboo. I think it helps, actually, to, especially as your loved ones get older, but, like, to engage with that for, like, younger people on a level where you see somebody that you've grown to know on a weekly basis in the college football season, lose it a little bit. Like, this is part of life. It's something we're all going to have to go through. Yeah. Like, you'll have it with your parents. You'll have it with grandparents if you're not there yet. Like, you're going to have this experience, seeing it and experiencing what that looks like, and also seeing, like, the lovely relationship he has with Kirk Herbstreit and, like, how they care for this old person. Is it what you want in a college football morning show on a Saturday? Maybe not. And I'm not, like, trying to, like, preach to you about it. I'm just saying there's value in it. Like, there is value in seeing how somebody is still can still be a part of something even once, you know, things start to be lost. Because that's a normal part of the human experience.
Yeah. Gopher Insight says, the last emailer will be coming after Ryan next. Ryan is 70 now. Okay. They says, or 53, but looks like 70. Well, thanks.
Nuts, I love it.
I'm actually 54, but I'll be 55 soon.
All right.
Double nickels.
You ready for a text message?
Yeah.
Love the show. Never stop. Yeah, it's in December, right?
December, yep.
Man, look at me. December 8th?
22nd.
Oh, well, I tried.
Okay.
The lesson is, never try. Chancellor Frank at UCLA, in theory, had a history of seeing the value of athletics during his tenure at Miami. However, UCLA has other issues at the moment with the federal government freezing $1 billion in research grants. What is the school's overall response to this, and how does it affect any potential university investment in athletics in the near term, given it puts a massive dent in the university budget? I have no idea. I think they're trying to argue it with the federal government and see if they can get that down or maybe get it, taken away entirely. I have no idea. But I'm sure that's number one focus for everyone at UCLA right now.
Yeah, you got to get that. $1 billion, like, you can't replace that easy. So, okay, POC Freakier Friday, Ryan and David. We're continuing our Freaky Friday anthology with, I'm sorry, which Big Ten head coach would you swap bodies and lives with through the college football season? What positive or negative changes would you make to their life and career? Keep in mind, they'd be in your body and life, witnessing your actions. Interesting.
That's a tough one. I think Dan Lanning would figure some stuff out for me. I'm swapping with Dan Lanning.
Okay.
I'll let his type A psychotic, nature, like, just kind of organize all my life, buddy. And I'll go have some fun watching Oregon football for a bit.
I don't want to, like, ruin somebody's season, though. Like, if you watch with, like, James Franklin, you're like, well, they could win the national championship, but not if I'm the head coach. So, like, someone that doesn't have, like, high stakes.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt Rhule.
I like that. He looks like a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah, I think he would, like, do some good stuff in my life.
Yeah,
like, when I came back, I think it would be a better place. Yeah. Nebraska football probably wouldn't be in a better place, but
I think you'd do fine.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Maximus Decimus Meridius.
This doesn't look good.
Good day, football lads. Hope your weekend of football galore went well. Ryan, has USC hoisted that epic "We Annihilated Missouri State" banner yet? I mean, after that earth-shattering beatdown, the Trojans' NIL swagger isn't the only thing flexing. Rumor has it the USC faithful nearly packed a mind-blowing one-third of the Coliseum on Saturday. Now, Dave, poor haunted Dave. I couldn't sleep Saturday night, so I flipped on to Sean Foster's UCLA squad, expecting a Big Ten coronation. Instead, I got a front-row seat to a comedy roast. Nico's NFL-ready arm was out there launching 110-mile-per-hour fastballs like he's trying to strike out Babe Ruth, missing wide-open receivers by a country mile. Then he'd freeze, wide-eyed, like a deer staring down a monster truck, shocked his passes didn't magically glue themselves to his guy's hands. And the zone read QB option? Looked like the Bruins were introduced to this new play on Saturday. I'm still scraping my jaw off the floor. I mean, after Dampier kept it for the 12th time in one drive, I would think the boys in Baby Blue would catch on. Guess not. So Dave, you battle-scarred UCLA loyalist, where does this absolute dumpster fire rank on your Bruin nightmare scale? Is it top tier screaming into a pillow material, or just another Saturday in Westwood? Strength and honor, gentlemen, Maximus, Decimus, and Meridius. Honest to God, it's sad, but it's more just another Saturday to me. Like, I won't say I was expecting UCLA getting blown out, but it wasn't like this was a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, they did this last year to Indiana. I mean, this program can take a blowout these days.
Well, I think Bruno Chicago is going to address that too. Troll fans. Hey guys, need to vent for a minute, but it isn't what you think. It's not about UCLA's horrific showing in the Rose Bowl to start the year. I don't want to focus on our terrible defensive game plan, in which it looked like our coaches were surprised by the rushing prowess of Utah's transfer quarterback. Side note, did they even read the practice reports from the University of New Mexico's 247 website last year? No. I'm not even particularly vexed by UCLA's offensive scoring only 10 points. UCLA's offense only scoring 10 points and looking flat. Instead, what annoyed me most this past weekend were bitchy, sorry, Griffin, fragile-egoed Tennessee fans online. They somehow took UCLA's overall struggles and made it their own personal victory over Nico. Did Nico struggle? Yep. Would any QB perform well behind UCLA's offensive line? Likely not. But instead of using a smidge of reason, they decided to embark on a troll campaign of vengeance, like it was UCLA that convinced Nico to transfer, rather than UCLA's desperation leading them to be in the right place at the right time position to take advantage of a former five-star quarterback leaving his former team. I'm annoyed that my team sucks again, but I'm even more annoyed by other fan bases piling on for idiotic reasons. David, thank you for all you do to keep myself and other UCLA fanatics relatively sane. Ryan, I have nothing for you. I hope you enjoy whatever vacation you have on the horizon. Best, a Bruin in Chicago.
Yeah, I will. I echo your sentiment entirely, a Bruin in Chicago, because it's one thing to, like, oh, okay, here we go again. And, like, UCLA fans, I would say, are uniquely, like, comfortable in misery. Maybe I'm just projecting myself, but, like, it's, I tweeted it out Saturday night, but, like, okay, we're back in the garbage. This is where I'm most comfortable. You know, I'm like the bane of living in filth. This is fine. But I don't need anyone else. Like, we can talk as much shit about this team and this program as we want. I don't need Tennessee fans in here chiming about Nico and talking shit. Like, it's, yeah, we know. You don't need to say anything. We're watching the same game. This isn't about you. This is about us in perpetuity. No more of this.
You're saying like people from Tennessee can be like vindictive and
yes, yeah. Yes, I am saying that, Ryan. You've never experienced that.
Never
before.
In my life, I've never experienced that.
All right, this is our last one. Nipplegate. We didn't talk about Nipplegate.
Okay.
This is from Dean. Okay. So there was an image of Ryan Day walking off the field where he has a protruding nipple with two dots on each side of that nipple, which many people have said implies that he has like a nipple clamp or, you know, pierced nipple. So questions, what other Big Ten coaches are most likely to sport augmented nips? And two, if correlation between Ryan Day nipple enhancements and Ohio State success is uncovered, which coach would be most likely to jump on the Areola Express? All right, most likely to have augmented nips.
I mean, Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning for sure, 100%. Sneaky Lincoln Riley?
He could have like a behind the scene, like, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that one. Kirk Ferentz?
No, no. He's least likely.
And then if the correlation, who's the most likely to get James Franklin, obviously. That's the obvious answer.
Yeah, I think it would go.
I think his desperation to win a natty at this point is super high.
I agree. That's what we got.
Oh, baby.
It's a big one. 43 smackaroos.
Thank you, Matt. He said, wanted to say thank you to you boys for the years of content by giving the same amount Utah scored on UCLA to ease David's pain. Been a fan since before he moved to Atlanta. Thank you, Matt. That's awesome. Appreciate you, man.
Really cool. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, that was a beatdown. Utah looks back. Like, they had a bad year. They barely cracked the top 25. Like, you beat a team like that on the road, like a Power 4 team like that on the road, they should have moved up some more. But
yeah, so true.
All right. Well, I got a fantasy draft in a bit.
And I got to go home to my children.
Oh, you have kids and stuff still?
I do. And they have
All the time. Like, you have to.
Yeah.
You can't just like.
I can't just, you know, say.
Not rent their own. Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they have like pens you can put them in for like a couple weeks? Like if you just like drop them off and.
Yeah. Our trough system isn't working though right now. So what would they eat?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. They can't change their own cages. So like where are they going to poop and pee? You know, they can do it for a little while in the you know, litter box.
But. You can do the upside down water bottle with the tube.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
They just look at it. Yeah. Like a little salt thing or something in the corner.
For CPS out there, I'm not actually doing this with my children. Thank you.
He wasn't. I talked him out of it, but that's true. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. We've been talking for a freaking long time. Do you know there's 18 teams in the Big 12 or Big 10 or whatever we're covering? Yes.
Too many.
Holy cow. For David Woods, I'm Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.